everybody. Welcome to the Hiking My Feelings Virtual Campfire Podcast. My name is Sydney Williams. I am your host. And today I have one of my favorite musicians, Matt Goodwin from, I know him from The Movement, but I just want to like read through this bio real quick because I'm a sucker for a good bio. So everybody like sit down, grab a comfortable beverage. We'll talk to Matt in a second, but like, I want to share a little bit of story time and then we'll like back up questions about this bio because like this bio kind of blew my mind. So hi, everybody. Welcome to Storytime at Hiking My Feelings. Matt Goodwin is an American musician, composer, record producer, and engineer born in Naples, New York. He is best known for his contributions within the American reggae scene, having engineered and performed on not one, not two, not three, not four, but five albums that debuted number one on the Billboard and iTunes reggae charts. After studying classical piano for several years at Ithaca College, he switched his focus and was later awarded the first ever undergraduate degree in ethnomusicology after studying music in Ghana, West Africa, and Jaipur, India, through the School for International Training. I have so many questions just about that alone. Like, this is going to be the longest interview of all time. Hope you have all day. When in Ghana in 2002, Matt worked with a producer to record the album, I'm going to butcher that, so we'll leave it, at Pigeon Music Studios in Accra with the international recording artist Della Botry and Hiwale Sounds. Nailed it. Okay, I'm just going to keep going. John Brown's Body, Bedouin Sound Clash, Giant Panda Gorilla Dub Squad, Axis Armada. We're going to talk about that. I find you on SoundCloud. Hey. And now The Movement. It's a really long bio. We'll include it on the show notes. Matt, who are you? Where are you currently? And like, how did you land on this planet to bring all this wonderful music to the world? Tell me your story.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for all the great vibes. I'm super stoked to be on here and chat with you this morning. It's just me. I'm Matt Goodwin. I'm sitting here in my home in my basement, basement studio in Western New York, in the Finger Lakes of New York, which is a stunningly beautiful region if you haven't been here. Mm-hmm. I grew up on the south end of this very small lake called Canandaigua Lake. And all the beauty and everything has just like captivated me enough to stay here. So I actually live probably 20 minutes from my parents' house. They still live in the same home that I grew up in. That's in like a small town called South Bristol, and it's overlooking that lake that I was speaking of, Canandaigua. And yeah, the Finger Lakes up here are just like, oh man, it's like the lifeblood. There's a lot of great tales of Native American tales of like actual creation starting on Bear Hill, which is the opposite side of the lake from me. It's really fun. I don't know, it's like rejuvenating or something. I don't know exactly how to put it, but like I have just such a great community of people and friends like that are still childhood friends to this day. I've like had the pleasure of traveling all over the world, and I come back here and I'm just like, wow, this place is special.
That speaks a lot to your connection to a specific place. Like for anybody that's watching this on YouTube, behind me, I'm in a cottage at a retreat center called Mandala Springs that we're scouting for a retreat in the future. And this is Cherokee in Muskogee land. And I walked, like we pulled into this place. This is like 2 hours north of San Francisco. You drive through wine country to get here. And we pulled in and I was like, these trees have stories, like this land is sacred. And like a publishing company owns this place. Like there's 10 meditation spots that are already mapped out on the facility map. Like it's just absolutely mesmerizing. And it sounds like to be able to go and study, I have questions about ethnomusicology. That is such a cool, like a term I hadn't even heard of or a degree that I knew existed. But having been all around the world and then to come back to the Finger Lakes region, do you have any stories of like, or memories of like your childhood where you were just like in nature and just completely consumed by the beautiful space that you're in? Cause like you keep coming back to this place after being like all over the world. I'm curious, like, are there standout memories that keep bringing you back or a feeling that you get when you go to a specific place around your area?
Yeah. I mean, my whole childhood was really like submersed in nature. Naples, New York, this small little town on the south end of this lake, it's like this quaint little town. There's no stoplights. It's like you know, there's like maybe one stop sign on Main Street there. And I graduated with, I think, 50 or 60 kids in my high school class.
Okay, yeah.
Super small little town, but beautiful. And Naples is like really renowned for having a lot of artists living in the area. But it'd just be like these people living in cool like sheds up in the woods, like glass blowers and metal sculptors and amazing like Appalachian style fiddle players. And yeah, the whole appeal of this area is like, there's these beautiful waterfalls. There's, I think, 3 or 4 waterfalls in Naples alone, beautiful hikes to go up to them. And me and my buddies, like, yeah, we were pretty far from Rochester, which is the closest city to us. And so we would just like, we'd pack our bags and grab some tents and we'd go hike out into the middle of nowhere. And that was like, that was my, most of my childhood. We'd just be like sitting around a campfire, yeah. Not a virtual campfire, but the
real, like a real thing,
the real thing. And we'd have some instruments and we'd just hang and jam and, you know, and just like howl at the moon, basically. And then the lake itself, there's also a ski area that's like just across the hill from me. Man, so many things that are just like mind-blowingly stunning in regards to nature.
Yeah.
So I just did a ton of outdoor activity. I mean, that's kind of what I was doing the whole time. Even in my parents' house. So we live in this like small house and it's this really steep backyard. It then like sort of bottoms out for a second. And then it's like just a almost like cliff into a gully.
Cool.
But the cliff is like, yeah, and it's so rad. But, you know, as a kid, me and my brother always used to just like climb the vines down into the bottom of the gully. And if you take the gully, the creek bed all the way down, it's like a mile or so. It goes over some wild mini waterfalls and drops and stuff like that. We'd always find arrowheads and stuff like that, on the walk down. But eventually you'd make it down to the lake.
Yeah.
And then you can hang down at the lake. And then, you know, kind of like
scurry yourself back up.
Scurry yourself back up. But even in the winter, we would grab skis and we'd ski down this bank. And yeah, I mean, we were just like always wiling out, you know, down in nature.
So for you then, having grown up kind of in a pretty natural environment and having that be a big part of your like foundational experiences as a human being, how do you stay grounded when you're on the road? Because I mean, just with what I've seen with the movement, you guys do incredible tours and you go all over the place. Like what are some of the ways that you stay grounded between shows, before shows and things like that?
I mean, luckily our crew is very drawn to nature. You know, Josh, especially, I know you've talked with Josh before, but yeah, we're always seeking it out. On days off on the road, we're like, where's the closest national park? Where do we like stop where we can go take a cool hike, you know?
Yeah.
And then in the times where we are in the cities, which is, you know, for the shows, the most part, we are in the cities. For me, I'm always like just taking some adventure, finding like the city park, finding like some green space within the city, hanging out, you know, like doing some stretching, doing some yoga, maybe meditating for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that like I always seek out when I'm on the road because I feel like it energizes me. It gives me some peace. It gives me a sense of adventure. I love exploring. So, you know, anytime I get to like just like have some time in the day to go do something, most of the time I'm just strapping my shoes on and getting lost, you know,
turning
my GPS on when I need to find my way back to the venue.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So what, like, talk to me about your family and how it's, what it's like being a traveling musician, raising kids, being a partner. Like how is all that working and how do you find the balance there?
It's a wild balance. Like for anyone to tell you that being a touring musician and balancing home life is easy, they'd be, yeah, I mean, I'd be like, yeah, tell me your secret because I don't know.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, please. Yeah, it's so crazy. I think I'm really lucky in that I'm surrounded by people who I think get me as a human being. And it's funny, we're all born with like certain characteristics or traits or maybe identities. And as we get older, I think those get a little more concrete. And I think for me, it's like, I've realized, okay, I was put on this planet with certain talents or gifts that, like, for me to deny those at this point is like not only doing disservice to, like, you know, all the people I get to hopefully put smiles on faces, but, like, you know, it's also like, it would be stripping me of my own value and worth and like chutzpah, you know, like, yeah. Like what like gets me going and brings a smile on my face. Cause when I go on tour and I'm out there and we're playing shows and I'm like, the exchange of energy is so magical. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's my favorite thing. And really, like, for music for me at this point, I think it's always evolved in different things. You know, at first it was like this more of an internal search, and music was a way for me to kind of understand myself or explore feelings or things like that. At this point in my life, I really feel like music is representative of therapy. Mm-hmm. Where, like, when I'm interacting with an audience, that's church to me. That yeah. is like the holiest moment that I get to feel on this planet, where, like, I see people losing any sense of, like, doubt or, you know, or turmoil or whatever. And this, people are just, like, lit up and they're not thinking about anything, but they're being human. They're connecting to their spirit. They're connecting to the spirits around them.
Yeah.
And everyone just gets, like, it's a moment of elation and joy. And those are the moments that, like, we all need as humans on this planet, because there is so much suffering. There is so much, like, to overcome. I don't care how good you have it. Like, life is hard, you yeah. know, life is difficult. So to share that moment and to encourage people to live that and hopefully, like, be able to reflect back on those moments, I think is, like, such, it's such a blessing, you know, it's such a gift. And I know how important it is, not only for myself, but more importantly for everyone else. Like, you know, people who connect to the movement's music or any other, you know, project that I'm a part of, I realize the power of music and what it does to people. And my family sees it, you know?
Yeah.
So when, you know, my partner, you know, she's incredible, and she grew up in a very, like, alternative family, lived on more or less like a hippie commune.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Her father was like a OG Santa Cruz hippie that, like, moved to upstate New York and, like, bought this huge plot of land with a farm on it. And
I,
like,
love it.
I don't know all the stories, but, like, I just picture at times there being, like, 20 people living on this land and everyone just sort of, like, living off the land and, you know, rebelling a bit against society and government and the structures that have confined us.
Yes.
So, you know, she grew up going to all these fun, funky parties in the woods where it was music and dancing, and she's a huge dancer. And so she fully embraces and understands the spirit of music.
Yeah.
And my kids have, just from the time they were born till now, and I have two sons and they're 12 and 13 years old. They've always known me to, like, it's like my work, you know, that yeah.
Dad's going to work.
And I've talked to them so many times, you know, to, like, reassure them that, like, how much I miss them and yeah. how tough it is to balance the thing, but how, you know, also what I just explained to you with the power of music and what it can do for people, and to let them know that, like, I'm trying to help people as well. So this isn't, like, just a selfish endeavor where I'm out there, like, looking out to, like, be seen or whatever, you right. know, like some egotistical adventure. It's like, it doesn't represent that at all for me. So yeah, I think my kids, they understand it as much as they can at the age that they are. And, you know, at this point, now that they're older, it's like, they're, you know, I try and take them to as many of these things as I can. I took them to Mexico for Closer to the Sun last year.
Nice.
They thought that was, like, the coolest thing on the planet.
Like, oh, dad's job is a party.
yeah. I don't know if they cared anything about the music, but the skate park that they found down there, they were like, they couldn't get enough of.
Like,
in the water.
It was when we were at Fiddler's Green last week, I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think it was
it was so cool to see Kyle's kids and like, just, I could, like, they were chucking fruit, like, I caught fruit snacks. I was like, these kids, oh my god, it just brought, like, And I hadn't seen Stupid live in so long. I was like, and this is why I love seeing Stupid play live. Like, like the music, all of it's on stage. Like, it's so good. And then just to see the twins, I was like, oh my God. That's what I love about this genre in particular. Like, I've been a fan of music in other genres, but I haven't ever experienced like the family vibe that is so, like, it's integral to the this scene in particular. And that's kind of how we got into it. Like, when you were talking about how music is healing and like the careless, well, not carelessness, but like being there for that purpose. One, like, we all have so much more in common than we do differences, but like the world and the structures that confine us are like really centered around the differences, but like, we're so much more alike than we are different. So true. And like, when we're like at Red Rocks last week, like, at the end, Josh does his talk and then you play the return and then you play Siren. And I was like, yeah, like, we are like, this is one, we need this. Like, everybody needs this. And two, like, just to feel like in between acts at Red Rocks in particular, it was like really chaotic energy that felt like it was all out here. And then you guys took the stage and it just sucked everybody in. And like, to be aware of that energy shift and then to like witness it with thousands of people is exactly what you said. And like, I love that your partner recognizes that. I love that your kids recognize that. And I assume that you wouldn't be with somebody who didn't get that, but what a blessing to have such a deep understanding and connection to it and be surrounded by people with that as well. Like, makes life so much more fun and valuable.
Yeah, it's so true.
So one of the things I was thinking of, like, for me, I'm a writer. I wrote a book. I don't know if you know this, but like the soundtrack for my book was Ways of the World. Like, I had it on repeat.
Oh, wow.
I wrote my book in a week. I would turn it on.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like, so I had gone around the country. I had like delivered the talk that I did a speaking tour before a book tour. I thought it was the other way around, but whatever, I do things backwards. So nice. I delivered the talk like 40 times. And then I came back to a house that we were staying at and I sat down and I put on Ways of the World. And then I just like, I've never dropped into flow state with music that's not like solfeggio frequencies so fast. And so I just like would get in and then I just write. And so like, for me, from like 2015, 2016 to early 2018, I was like a consumer of the music and a consumer of a lot of things. And then like a switch flipped and I was like, I'd like to create now. And I did. And so I'm curious, do you find yourself going through phases in that way in your creative process and your creative journey in between albums, in between tours? Like, because when you're out there creating, like, how do you refill your cup after you're giving so much of that energy? And there is that exchange, but it does, I know from experience, like, it takes a lot of energy to bring that energy. So how do you refill your cup? And what is your like flow like between tours, between album releases and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Cause the flow is, it's so intense. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize.
Channeled, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is wild. Yeah, it's crazy to think like my energy states in how they exist. And it really is like, I don't know. I'm very far from being like a bipolar person or something like that. Like, right. I'm lucky I don't experience like really deep depression and things like that. But I do experience like real lulls in energy. And it's due to those cycles of things, you know, to like play at Fiddler's Green and Red Rocks, for example, this past weekend. And like
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're like,
Yeah. Like leading up to it, it's almost like I picture like what a fighter going into a ring would be doing, like preparing. And it's like, you know, it's far from that. I'm not like going 10 rounds and, you know, like the physical exhaustion of that. But there is like a similar mentality. And I grew up as an athlete and it's the same thing. You know, you'd prepare for like a soccer game or some important match, or like I was a ski racer back in the day. And, you know, like everything like leading up to the moment of that performance is like you're conserving every last bit of energy to then be able to like put every last piece of focus and energy and joy and whatever you can into that minute moment. And that happens. And like, I just noticed myself like, for me recently, meditation has been the thing that has been the grounding point, where I feel like when my energy is sort of settled and calm, that I'm like preserving it in a way where like I know it's about to come, right? And like I'm like not summoning it yet, but I'm like just
storing
it, yeah, cultivating it. And then a lot of times, you know, honestly, after like big shows like that or a big tour, if we're on a 2-week tour or something like that, I'll come home and I'll feel really great. I'll have like the residual joy and energy that I got from all those performances, and I'll take that with me, but it'll feel like I just got out of a sauna that I sat in for way too long, you know, where I'm like, I feel really good, but like my body just is like a little sluggish. Yeah. Like I don't, you know, and it's hard because going back to like the family life and things like that, I come home, I've just missed my family for 2 weeks, and everyone, like me especially, I'm excited to see everyone. They're excited to see me, but I don't get like a 2-week recovery. I don't get a 2-day recovery. Like most of the time, you know, I might take a red eye flight back home from California, get home at noon and pick my kids up at school at 2.
Right.
You know? Yeah. That's like the reality of my life. Yeah. So I have to be able to manage my energy. Like I have to not, and you know, even being on the road, like there's just so many things to be able to balance that. Nature is such a big one. Like, mm-hmm. like we were talking about earlier, finding a park, finding, you know, hikes on the day off. A lot of times, like I'll go jogging, even if I'm in the city, like just like cruise around, just to like get fresh air into my lungs. Because anytime you're doing any of those exercises or some yoga, we've been jumping rope a little on the road, like any of these things, it just like, it gets the blood going. It oxygenates everything in your body. It gets the endorphins happening. And I think like for a maintenance standpoint, it's so crucial, you know, mm-hmm. it's so wild. Like we all probably fight that thing where it's like, oh, I'm tired, let me lay on the couch, right? But the reality is like that sedentary life where you're dormant is like you're doing the opposite. You're not refilling your cup. You're sort of just like sinking deeper down into your fatigue and your exhaustion. Yeah. So a lot of times for me, when I need to refill my cup, I try and push myself to be like, okay, you know what does it? You know, getting out and taking a hike does it? You know, like jumping into that brisk cold lake is yeah. gonna do it, you know that like jumping on your mountain bike and like going cruising with the kids is gonna do it, even if you're tired, you know, by the yeah. time you get out there, it's like that, you know, like that, like fear, you know, I've always pictured it like you're standing on the edge of the diving board and you're looking into a cold thing of water and you're like, oh man, all the thoughts going through your head. You're like, I don't know. I don't really want to do this. But like, as soon as you jump in, you're like, you know, like everything releases. You feel like
life is good.
Yeah. Life is good. You release your anxiety. Everything's fine. So for me, yeah. Like refilling the cup to me is a lot of times like refueling my energy, with things like that. Like getting out, getting active, trying to exercise more, trying to like get in the forest. For me, the forest in particular is like very rejuvenating. And I grew up, you know, in the woods more or less. Yeah. There's something magical about the trees, and there's something magical about like connecting to the animals that are like cruising through the forest and seeing, you know, like all the subtleties of life and in the moss and the mushrooms and the, you know, like all the beautiful things that are happening there. And that really like, that fills me up. On a musical tip, it's very strange. And every artist I think taps into different things when they're trying to like find inspiration for music. For me, I have a really interesting relationship to music in that I don't listen to much music. Mm. It's almost as if the music I'm working on is so consuming and so intense that like that bucket's full. Like I
relate to that because I don't read a lot and I'm a writer.
Yeah.
It's weird. And originally the language that I had for it, which never really felt like my true story, but like was the closest thing I could think of, was like, I didn't want to be influenced by, because like I am extra sensitive to energy. I'm extra sensitive to people's needs and thoughts, and I mimic what I find attractive. And I think that's a natural human trait. Like that's how language works. But for me, I was like, you know, I think it's like, I don't want to accidentally, and I don't remember who said this. I feel like Mike Pinto might've said the same kind of thing, but like he does somebody, I can't remember if it was Mike or not or somebody else, but they were like, I don't listen to a lot of music because I don't want influences to come into unknowingly. Cause like I'll hear something randomly, and then that bass line or that guitar riff might work its way into what I'm creating. And I think I feel the same way about writing. Like I'm trying to find the words to describe my experience, not necessarily. And like, I find help in finding language for that by like reading other things. But where I find the inspiration for me is like connecting the dots between the nature, the experience I'm having, and like trying to find the words that humans can understand to like put to those feelings. So I feel that like deeply. And that's interesting because you're not the first musician I've heard that has said that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is interesting. And it's not like a forced thing. I'm not like actively
no music.
Like, no music. Like kids, turn that off, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, obviously like you'll hear things along the way. Like you'll be on the road and someone will be like, yo, did you hear the new Coffee track? Or did you hear the new blah, 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 you know? And you're like, nah. And then someone will bump something and, you know, maybe you'll like find some inspiration off of that. For me, a lot of times, like the inspiration in music is like the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not like, I don't connect to music lyrically, which is so strange. I realized that like 95% of people out there, probably 99% of people out there are just following the story, right? And the music part of it, the bed of music really is like the grounds to like helping feel the emotion of the story that's being told. But for me, I'm like, I'm hearing it all is like this one piece of
the lyrics
music.
are an instrument in the song. Like it's a part of it.
They're singing a melody. They're like adding emotion. They're adding either like a calmness or a smoothness or a sexiness or like a aggression or whatever it is. And you know, I'm following those lyrics somewhat, but for me, the emotion of the music is what captivates me. So like certain things in certain songs, like it's just a feeling. And a lot of times like that feeling for me is like, where does it make my body, you know,
where
does
it
make my body
it?
Move? Yeah. Or like, am all of a sudden like I'm like got this joyous sort of smile on my face and the mood is just light and it's happening. And I'm like, okay. Like I could care less what this guy's saying. The vibe's like amazing right now.
You and my husband are the same. Cause when I was younger, I was like, give me the liner notes. I want to read the lyrics. I listen, like that's how I do it. And after my hike in 2018, that like changed my life. I came home and I listened to every single Stick Figure song from start to finish, the entire catalog, and read every lyric because my thought was I couldn't find the words to articulate like what I had experienced on that island, but the music, I could feel it. And the lyrics represented the story. So I figured if nobody's going to go hike, and if they never have this same physical experience in this place with these trees and this island, whatever, if they listen to this playlist, they'll understand the journey. And so my husband is the same way. Cause I'm like, I am a lyric. Of course I am. I love writing.
Yeah.
Like I love lyrics. I love words, but like, this genre is what got me into the feeling part of the music. And then my husband's like, yeah, I don't know the words to stuff. I just feel the music. And I was like, who are you? You interesting alien. Like, you don't know the words? Like, I'm obsessed with these words. These words are like speaking directly to my soul. Like, how do you not know the words? He's like, no, man, I just feel it. I was like, whoa. That's so cool.
Yeah,
it's so you said it was like 95% of people read it and like the other, or some loose statistic, but like majority of people are lyric readers versus feelers.
I just got to imagine it's that
way. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's 50-50, but
I would love to know. I wonder if there's been research on that. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. If you find out, let me know.
I would love to know too.
Yeah. But you know,
Keep going.
I think most people are connecting to the story because, you know, like we communicate over language and music is such a beautiful combination of using poetry and language but also like using these sonics to like make you feel the language. So
yeah.
I think most people are probably on the lyric side of things.
So what in the grand scheme of Matt Goodwin's life, whether that's music, personally, like with your kids and your partner, other things that you have going on, like what in this moment right here at whatever time on June 16th, 2022, what is like your ultimate vision for your life? And like, how are you moving towards that? What does that look like? Like, do you, and, or do you have one? Like, you seem like a kind of present in the moment kind of guy. Maybe that isn't a thing for you, but if it is, I'd be curious to know what it is.
Yeah. I'm always reevaluating. You know, I think we have these chapters in our lives where something is of utmost importance. And then 7 years later, you're like, wow, like that means hardly anything to me anymore, you know? So I'm always trying to, yeah, be in the moment, be like, where am I at in this current adventure in my life? One of the, yeah, some like major milestones that are happening right now. One, we just finished the New Movement record. It just got mastered. We got the finals back. I've listened to it. I can't tell you how many times. Most of it was mixed and produced right here in this room in my house, which is wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, and it was just out of like necessity because of COVID. I was like stuck in my house with my family. And I was like, okay, we got to keep working. We got to keep creating art, you know, got to keep doing this thing. So for that, like the movement in this project in particular has like brought me such great joy. And like, it's constantly inspiring me to like push farther, go deeper into my own self, try and think of like what else we can do to help the community, to help people. And it feels like the sky is the limit, is all of life is, right?
Yes.
But I do feel very inspired in the moment to like try and take all of the energy and the momentum that we've been feeling as a band and like continue growing that. But like, I would love to see where we start doing more things that are like specifically targeted to helping, you know, nonprofits or helping, you know,
it's weird. I have some ideas for like how we could like make the world a better place together. That's so interesting. I love hearing that that's a goal. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a goal. We'll have to keep talking about all the things, but you know, the reality is like, it's mind-boggling to me to understand why people get born into the places that they are, like the inequality that happens into the world. It's so unjust. It's so unfair. Yeah, it's mind-blowing, you know, especially like, you know, the trips that I took to Africa and to India. It was a while ago at this point. That was like in 2002 and 2003. But the feelings of astonishment at the level of poverty and the amount of suffering and the people who didn't have access to clean water or legit food or a roof over their head, like that's never left me. I've always been like, wow, like, what do you do? And you know, we all get caught in our own like survival or like in the American standpoint of like, like it's always like, yeah, it's always like
accumulating.
It's like, okay, well, you got to here on the ladder. Like the only place to go is to focus on going up and up and up and up and up. But it's like, okay, well, at what point is it just like pointless? Like what, you know, at what point are you like, okay, what my accumulation of these things is means nothing, because like at the end of the day, I'm going to end up in the dirt just like everyone else. Like, why not help some people along the way to live a life that's like a little more joyous, like to reduce people's suffering? And there's so many ways to do that, you know, like in, like I said before, music is such a thing that I feel like that's like a gift that I can give the world, that I hope like people who are struggling in moments of their life can maybe hear a song or hear a lyric that's coming out of this project that gives them hope, that makes them think like, oh no, I am strong. I can get over this. This is just like an ebb and flow in a chapter of life that I know, like when this door closes, this, you know, I have the opportunity to walk through this door and go into a higher place. But yeah, I really want to continue seeking out opportunities that can take whatever goodness we've accumulated as a group of musicians and try and impact people in a positive way and try and impact the planet on a positive way. Like there's also so much destruction happening, you know, from a carbon level to, you know, a global warming level to them, you know, government occasionally like destroying national parks and shit. And I'm just like, yo, this, like, we only got one planet so far.
No,
like,
planet B that we know of.
We don't, yeah, we haven't figured that one out yet. So like, man, we got to take care of this. And it's hard. Like, I was having a really like interesting discussion with a friend of mine, Alexander Falls, and my girlfriend Autumn, and Alexander's lady last night. We were just like talking about things, and he lives in Colombia, the country Colombia, for like 6 months out of the year, and then comes back here. Amazing, like, soil painter. He takes like pigments from the earth and does these soil paintings.
Awesome.
He's like a featured artist at this world art show in Cuba coming up, and amazing character, and also like just deep thinker. And this is a childhood friend that I grew up with in Naples. And we were just talking about the nature of, you know, in specific, I was thinking about like recycling and things like this. Like, and it's like such a wild thing, because I'm always like thinking to myself, like, wow, like, we beat ourselves up so much about like our individual efforts towards like what's going on. Like, how do I reduce my use of plastic? And then how do I reduce my waste of food and all of these things? And for me, I always get hung up on the fact that like there's 7 billion people on the planet. Like, almost like no matter how well I recycle and no matter how much I bring reusable containers to like the grocery store and things like that, like, the plastic is still being made.
Yeah. Like, and people, and everybody else is still using it.
And everyone else is still using it.
And yeah. I think like before, my father was a travel journal or travel writer and a photojournalist. So like, his specialty is cruise vacations. So we went on cruises, like I've been on like 20 cruises when I started like in my childhood. And I've seen, like, we were in Haiti after the ginormous hurricanes came through, and like Royal Caribbean was a supply ship that brought clean water to the island because they didn't have any. And so I've seen all this stuff. But the thing, like, when we started touring just around the US, like, I was thinking about, this is something that blows my mind too. Like, people that use daily contacts, for an example.
Yeah.
Think about the trash. One person can make 365 containers if they do it daily. 365 containers of contact
packaging
trash in one year, one person.
Yeah.
And then we went and we visited like the Tillamook Cheese Factory in Oregon, and they were talking about how they like each day they intake like 100,000 gallons of milk every day to process, to make cheese and ice cream and yogurt. And I'm like, the cows, like, what? That's so much milk. And that's one company, and they make, and their cheese is everywhere. And then you think about like what's available at one grocery store, and you figure like a big city has probably like 100 grocery stores times just the United States. I'm like, we consume and create so much waste.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, and what you were my mind went when you started talking was like, yes, our individual actions are important. Yes, we can make a difference, but also there's like 5 industries that create all of the pollution and problems in the world, which if we like regulated them, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's like the dent that I'm making on the world driving my van is not the same dent that like the oil industry is making. So it's just and I get so fucking angry. I'm like, God, like it's so, it feels so clear to me. And like the solutions are so obvious that I'm like, am I actually delusional? Do I live on this planet, or am I like visiting from another one? Because like, I'm looking at this world like an alien. And this is what my husband does from time to time. He's like, every once in a while, I kind of drop in and I'm like, if I was an alien and I was observing human behavior, y'all are weird. Like, we do some weird
No doubt about it. Yeah.
But like, when you think about like, and that's kind of where it all kind of comes back to like music and big gatherings for me. I was really overwhelmed at this last Red Rocks show. And I hadn't been overwhelmed before. Like the first big concert that I saw after COVID was the Movement at Red Rocks last year. And I was like, ooh, I needed this. I'm feeling it. Like Fiddler's Green. I was like right in front of you in that wall of speakers, all the bass just like cleared the cobwebs, just like every cell of my body, all the stuff that was confusing, gone, shook it right out of myself. Like I needed more than 30 minutes of a Movement set in that bass to make that happen. But like, when I think about like looking at behavior and how weird we are, but also how separated we are from nature and just like how everything is exact, like we're all the same. We're the same as the trees, we're the same as the grass, but like we forget about that. When you look out at a crowd of 18,000 people at Fiddler's Green, like it's like we're like the little ants on a hill, right? Like yeah, we're just like a little field with like blades of grass, but like we're humans and we're like cells doing stuff, like cancer cells, but hopefully not cancer cells because we're good humans. But it's just like everything, yes, white blood cells. everything is like it all mimics nature because we are nature and we aren't separate from it. Like the wave, I think that's an Alan Watts quote. The wave is not separate from the ocean, and like I am not separate from this cabin, which is not separate from the ground that it's built on. Like I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's every once in a while I'm just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's like, so true.
I know. And I'm like, we have conversations like this, and I'm like, okay, so I'm not crazy. Like at least one other human. Like it's me and my husband, and Matt Goodwin agrees. Like humans are strange.
yeah, it is so wild.
So
yeah, but I'm just like thinking like what efforts can be made, you know, like think smarter, not harder, work smarter, not harder, whatever it is like that statement is. But like, yeah, I'm always like, okay, like, so how do I get beyond my own efforts? I guess is the moral of like where I was going with this thing, because like to make an impact is like, wow, like my personal efforts on like driving an electric car or any of these things is like, it's great. Like, I'm not going to downplay it. Like everyone should, you know, make their own efforts and try. But like, how do we like make impact on a bigger level? So those are things that I'm thinking about that like I'm working towards. I don't have the answers. Yeah. I don't know if anyone has the answers, but like the reggae community is a beautiful community. And like, maybe if you have enough people sharing that same sentiment, then, you know, maybe things can happen on a bigger level, or that thought can spread, you know, it's like thoughts can spread like wildfire, which is great. And it's like a cool idea, but it's so tough because like the world is so polarizing, and sometimes to like say anything feels like you're just asking to be criticized. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm super open-minded. I'm down to sit there and listen to anyone's view on the world. I think everyone's like opposite views are what makes the world interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously some of them don't resonate with me and some of them like really are like hitting home, but like, I think we need to be willing to have like the conversations with people, even in uncomfortable moments, and hear people out, and then like, you know, try and open up and like, be like, well, how do we all work together? Even when we're not feeling certain things, like for moments, like, you know, the planet and the earth and like making sure our kids have clean water and, you know, the things that we need to survive and the things that we need our planet to like remain and stay healthy. So those are like some things that I'm thinking of. There's another project that literally is like happening right now. There's a piece of land, and I grew up skiing with a friend of mine. His name's Justin, and he's like an incredible, like intelligent, brilliant cat. And we've always kept in touch. He's an amazing trumpet player, and he lives here in Rochester. And he's like kind of dove in on like recording studio projects with me, where he's like helped me create recording spaces before and like acquire equipment and things like this to like, you know, create on a bigger level. And the project that we're working on right now is he owns this piece of land. It was his father's land, but it's like 17 acres of land on this beautiful hillside overlooking the south end of the lake that I grew up on. And we're talking about building a recording studio on this land overlooking the lake. But I think the idea is to like make, it's like, well, the world doesn't need another recording studio. Everyone can record, right? It's like, I can sit here in my basement and make a record. Like, so can a lot of people. But we're like, how do we make an experience for people that like want to get away, that like want to connect with nature, that want to have like an experience where, yeah, it's like you can dive a little deeper. You can step away from the world as we know it. For me, the like greatest recording experiences I've ever had are when I've been into some remote place in the middle of nowhere. Like the movement typically records at this place in rural Virginia. And it's like, you know, I don't know, 50 acre plot of land. You have to take all these wild dirt roads to get there.
Nice.
And then you go down this driveway. It's like, he's got a whole bunch of goats over here hanging out in the pen. And then there's like this big barn, and you just like stock the fridge with a bunch of food, and you stay right there in the barn that is the studio. The upstairs is all places for like you to sleep. And you know, we will go there for a week or 2 weeks. And I don't even think there's cell reception out there. It's like, you're just out, you're done.
The time
you're
doesn't like, exist. It's all in this barn.
The vibes,
the magic.
You get to release all of like your worries about doing this and doing that. You're just like, hey, everyone, family, social media world, everyone, like I'm out for the next 2 weeks. We're just going to pour our energy into creating something beautiful. And that's the intention with the space here, is like, let's make a space where people can get away and have an amazing experience. And obviously, like, you know, because we're in the music thing, the recording thing is like, you know, maybe our initial primary focus of it, but I see it like that space being used for so many things, you mm-hmm. know. I want it to be a gathering space for whoever, like who wants to gather on some therapeutic endeavor, or you know, like maybe it's like bringing speakers in who are sharing knowledge and information that like should be shared with the world. Yeah. Or you know, and then he's got like a little plot of land down below that piece, which is on the lake. So I'm like, oh man, yeah, we can get people out on the lake, we can get people swimming, we can get people in kayaks. So that's like a vision for it. But like, I just like, you know, I like wild and whimsical and all this stuff. So I picture, you know, there being like little yurts like scattered around the property and all these cool little trails connecting it and like funky little tree houses and like, you know, like yes. It just being like a world outside of a place that you would think is like normal. Like,
yeah.
You know, I want that spot to be the spot that like the aliens are like, whoa, that shit's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're like, these humans get it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They got it. Finally, we found our people.
Yeah, we found them.
In this weird little plot, like overlooking Canandaigua Lake.
Oh my God. But, I love that vision so much. Like I feel it. I feel it for you. And I'm very excited to visit someday and like,
yeah.
Be like, remember on that podcast? However long ago?
yeah so that's like a current dream, you know, going back to the original thought of like what am I walking towards, what am I like, what's exciting me in the world and things like that. So for me, it's sharing like deeper connections with humans. I think with social media these days, it's like it's brought us closer together and being able to connect with people, and it's also like tore us apart from the human connection of like getting up in person and like spending time and not like just thumbing through a whole bunch of shit. And we're all like, I'm a victim of it. Like we're all victims of it. Yeah. It's weird because it's like built into our business in a mm-hmm. weird way.
It's hard for us to separate. And I like my zone, my work, my everything is the opposite of how I have to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be so far removed from social and like computer connections. Like it's important to get the word out. That's how people find us. But also like, there is nothing this like nowadays, especially after being in quarantine and like not being able to do live events for a while. The one thing that I hate more than anything is sitting in a room full of people doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we are right here. Like there is energy to be exchanged in real time. Like I am like in your cells. I am in your orbit. There ain't nothing here that's more important than this right here. Like, this is what I'm here for, is like genuine connection, awesome conversations. And just like, I want to be like, I turned 37 on Friday at Fiddler's Green. And my takeaway between Cali Roots and my Colorado weekend is like, I'm not doing anything that doesn't bring me joy or expand my consciousness. That's my purpose on this planet, is to be present, whatever that means. And and that's my filter now. And those are my guiding lights. Like I have a vision. I'd either like to partner with a place like this or build something like what you're building. Like, I think the vibe that I'm finding and the people that I'm surrounded with is we all want to live communally. We all want to create experiences where people can get back home to themselves. And like this original vision that I had where it was just a name and I was like, oh, I'm hiking my feelings instead of eating and drinking my feelings. Like that's interesting. And now it's my book, and it's this community, and it's this nonprofit, and it's the retreats we host, and it's the conversations we have. And it's this little itty bitty tiny seed is now all of these things. And like, I think that the same could be said with the music is like, for like the journey of like a song from start to finish. Like I have had the distinct privilege of like Heal It, K-Bong's, one of K-Bong's songs on his last album, yeah, you know, with Mike Love. The first time I heard it was right after he wrote it on Catalina Island, and we were in the forest and he was playing it, and like a herd of deer walked by, and he's like playing for the deer, playing for me and Barry. And he like, he was still working on, like he didn't have a third verse yet. He was like kind of fumbling around on the second one. And then the next backpacking trip we heard, it was the instrumentation that Nathan did from Ayaterra. And then the next one we heard was like fully produced without a third verse. And then the next time I heard it was when it was released and I was hiking across the state of Michigan. And I was like, okay, I got a K-Bong album. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the next time I heard it was around the campfire at one of our retreats. And then the next time I heard it was around the campfire with one of our retreats with Derek, Man of the Forest, playing violin. Yeah. And it took that song to another space and time. I call it scraping my heart. Like that violin just like takes the cobwebs and gets everything out of here. But to be able to witness that, one, I want to create experiences where people are part of that process from start to finish, even if you're not a musician, just to be able to witness it. Because what I have learned and emulated from our friends that are musicians into how we do things at Hiking My Feelings has radically changed how I live my life, how I find inspiration, how I consume versus how I create, and like my awareness around my phases. Like it has radically changed everything. And like, I mean, I sing along to the songs, but like I wouldn't, nobody's offering me a contract anytime soon. Like I don't like, but it's fun and it feels good. And I think that there's so much as a fan, and this is one of the questions that I had for you, like when it comes to managing your energy and refilling your cup and stuff like that, like for me at Red Rocks, like we went on tour with K-Bong last year. We've been hosting a lot of great retreats. Like we're really connected with like the Stick Sisters group, which is part of like a little part of the bigger like Stick Figure family. And then like Movement Junkies and all these fan groups, like we're involved in that. And a lot of people that come from our programs are from that. And I wasn't counting, like I understand, like I should have thought about it, but like I got recognized at Red Rocks more than I had anticipated. And it was like, it was borderline overwhelming. And now that we're all coming back together, and especially for Stick Sisters, like there's a woman named Elise that's an admin for the group. And some of these other people, like they're getting recognized at shows too. And it's almost like, it's kind of like, oh, this must be what the guys feel like when they get stopped and you're like, oh my God, your music means so much to me. Somebody's like, oh my God, your book changed my life. And I was like, I mean, like I wrote it for myself with the intent of like sharing the message, but like to actually have somebody like, not just like write a comment or leave a review, but like in your face telling you the impact you've made, like how do you prepare for that? Like, do you have any words of wisdom for some of the folks in the community that aren't the musicians, but are like becoming more and more active to help promote the music and like build this community around it? Do you have any advice for people that aren't used to being like recognized in public and how to like navigate those situations? Cause like, how do you get away from the drunk guy that's spitting in your face? Like we've all been there. At the merch booth, there's the dude, like, he's like, there's spittle everywhere. Like how do you navigate that? Like the easy conversations are easy to navigate, but on the harder side of things, like any tips for folks? Like, how do you do it?
It's tricky. Yeah. I mean, you gotta, you know, in every little situation and interactions, its own little island, right?
For sure.
You know, for me, like I always love the human connection and the interaction. So like, I will always make time to say what up to someone, you know, if someone's like excited to like say, hey, and like, you know, chat for a second, I'm there to chat, you know, but you know, like all things, you just have to like respect where you're at, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if at that moment, like literally it's my last chance to call my kids before they go to bed, you know, I'll just say,
you're not hanging out in the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I'm talking to someone, I'll be like, oh my gosh, it was so nice to talk to you. Like, let's catch up soon. I got to call my kids real quick. Yeah, I'll just be honest with them, you know? Yeah. I mean, you can play it off however you want, you know, like you can take the fake phone call and be like, oh my gosh, hold on. I'll be, you know, and like, I mean, you do whatever you want. You
know? I'm a horrible liar. I like the idea of just being like, this is like, I'll just be like, it was really great to meet you. I'm also extremely overstimulated and overwhelmed. So thank you. Next time, yeah, like, I'll be better prepared.
Yeah. You know, I think honesty
is a good way to go. Yeah.
It's great. You know? Yeah. It's tough though. And like different people deal with it in different ways. You know, Josh, for example, you know, I think he gets obviously hit up more than anyone, because lyrically his message has impacted a lot of people. And, you know, and sadly, I feel like he's had to remove a little bit from like being out and about in those situations where we're playing a show that day or something like that. Cause like, it is a lot of energy to perform. It's a lot of energy to like, you know, even like human interactions, like that little like thing to be on, right? To like be like mentally sharp and to like be sparring with words back and forth. And, you know, it's like, it takes energy. It's a lot of energy. So I don't think there's anything wrong with like, you know, respecting where you're at with your own energy. And if you're feeling tapped and tanked, you know, it's fine. It's completely fine to be honest with someone and be like, oh, you know, I appreciate it so much. My night's kind of winding down. Like I got to get back to, you know, rest and save up some energy for the next one, or I'm heading home, or I'm hungry. Yeah. I need some food or whatever. You know, I think honesty is great. If someone can't respect you being honest with them in your time, then, maybe the conversation should end anyways.
Yeah. Very nice way of putting it. Okay. So I have two more questions. So this fall, my husband and I are going on tour with K-Bong and Johnny again. And this time, last year I was like, hey, Kevin, do you have a tour manager? And he was like, no. He explained all the different people that make things happen behind the scenes and like gave me like a 101 on the like support team of a tour kind of thing. And I was like, cool. So if you don't have one, I would think I'd be good at it. Like I'm a event wizard. I've booked and promoted two of my own tours, speaking and leading retreats and hikes around the country, different, but same. Like I'd like to be, I'm interested if you're looking for one. And so this year, like he's kind of passing off some of the duties to me and I really want to crush it. So of all, like you have been, I mean, you've toured with lots of different bands. You've been all over the world. What is like, do you have any memories of like a really impactful contribution that a tour manager made to your life to make your life easy? So all you had to worry about was like bringing your best self to the stage.
Yeah. I mean, that
shout really them out kinda, if you feel appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that really nails like that thought of what a tour manager, like a really great tour manager will do.
And it was like, good. So like interview's over. I nailed it. Continue.
Yeah. Just do that. Just do whatever it takes to do that. And like, yeah, you're the best tour manager on the planet.
Yeah.
There's been so many great people I've worked with, you know. Most recently, Steve Donovan is a cat that's been like tour managing with the movement. And Steve has like a ton of experience in so many different realms, but like he was like, you know, stage manager, production manager for major music festivals. And he's also worked with a lot of different bands. I think what he excels at is all those things that need to happen like before the show, you know, like if you iron out all the details and you're an organized person and you're like, hey, we need this, this, and this, and this, and there's so many different like levels of it. It's like, maybe we need like, and every band is so different. So like maybe K-Bong's expectation is like, hey, we need a juice machine with fresh vegetables and whatever, like backstage every day, you know, just following up on that stuff so that like, you're like, hey, the guys are showing up at this time. Let's have this and this and this ready for them. You know, on a grander scale is like the production side of things, which is like, our band is getting to the point where like, that is a real, not struggle, but like, it's a lot to overcome, for every show, you know, cause like we're renting lighting equipment and stuff from certain companies in certain towns and making sure they're trucking the equipment to the event and making sure it's in there in time for load in so that our lighting designer can set everything up in time to do our sound check. And, you know,
it's a lot.
And then it's a lot. And then with our band, it's like, we have, you know, I'm in New York, Jay, our bass player, is in Philly, Josh is in South Carolina, Gary's in Florida. And then Dave, our sound guys, he's in California. We've got other guys in Boston. We've got, you know, we're all coming from different places. So just to do a tour, the logistics is a nightmare. So I don't know if that'll be the case for you. I don't know like what the specific situation is, but like, you know, he's taking care of booking our flights, but also like booking the flights in a way that we all arrive at a similar time. So when we're renting a Suburban and we're all jumping in it, people aren't sitting around waiting for like Gary, who's like, like, why is Gary's flight 6 hours later? Like someone's got to go pick him up. Like, you know, it's all these little things. It's just like time management and being conscious of like where everyone's at. And, you know, if you're traveling all the time and you, I mean, you know, that like, sometimes people need a break, or like if it takes on the map 4 hours to drive to this place, well, you know, let's give it 6 hours and let's break halfway and take an hour hike and get some food, you know, like let's make the day nice. Like let's, you know, make sure everyone's hydrated and getting some sunshine and vitamin D and getting some proper food and, you know, all the things. So it's just about, for me, like, it's about just living a good life when you're on the road, you know, like not
and
having
being
it be
healthy and not having to like succumb to the conveniences that are available. And like, but it's like, you have to like, you have to be so solid in your commitment to health before you even hit the road to be able to maintain that. And then to have the support that in that like reinforces that commitment is huge. And I love hearing that about from your personal experience, because that's what I've witnessed with K-Bong and Johnny. Is like, K-Bong wakes up, he stretches, he has his juice, he does his thing. Like, and there's like, to be able to give space for you guys to have your routines that allow you to be the best version of yourselves on stage. Like, that's my goal. So yay. Thank you.
And just read, you know, you'll start to like understand the characters in that particular group. And you'll see what people need and what they want. And, you know, once you get like everyone's routine and thing down, it's just like helping facilitate their day, you know, making sure that happens. And, it can be a fun role. You know,
It's like, you're the to have a bad time.
You're the party planner, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And then, so my last question that I have for you, that I ask every guest that's on this show, in this upcoming scenario that I'm presenting to you, you have a magic wand, and with the magic wand, you can use it on yourself, your family, the world at large. You can do whatever you want with this. You can bestow information, you can eliminate problematic behaviors, you can wipe out an industry that's killing the planet. Like, what would you do with your magic wand, and how and who would benefit? Who would benefit from it, and how would they benefit?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh man, this is a powerful wand.
I know.
Crazy. I'd be waving it all over the place, you know, but if I only had one wish, I think it would be, I don't know, to bestow maybe like a sense of patience and willingness to listen for everyone. I just think that the world is like plagued with social issues that are happening that I feel oftentimes are like just miscommunication or just an unwillingness to get beyond your own initial tick of like what feedback loop that you've trained yourself or like, you know, been like scarred into thinking, inherited. And I think, like what I want to see on this planet is peace. I want to see joy. I want to see people living in harmony. And I think it's possible, you know, it's like, I realize there's so many polar opposites to what happens on this planet. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to accept it for what it is, because maybe that is what actually balances the earth, similar to like the positive negative poles of a magnet, you know, or the earth itself. But in my deepest desire is like, I don't want people to like feel so scarred and so misunderstood to the point where they feel like their only course of action is revenge, you know, or they feel, so belittled that they just want to be seen and they put a gun in their hand or something, you know. It's like, when I think about my children, which is like, you know, anyone who has kids, it's like, that's like the most important thing that you could possibly do is like, how do I create a life that is like, that I would be happy for my kids to live? Mm-hmm. And when I think about like all the things that I'm worried about in their life, a lot of times it just involves like my fear of them interacting with like toxic situations or people mm-hmm. or things like that. And yeah, I wish I could wave the wand and be like, hey, I don't care if you're far right. I don't care if you're far left. Like sit at the same dinner table, sit mm-hmm. at the same campfire. Like it's okay. Like it's okay to be different. It's okay to like have a different color skin. It's okay to have a different accent. It's okay to have a different religion. Like it's fine for all of these things to exist on the planet. We don't have to, you know, there doesn't need to be any infiltration of someone's thoughts or way right. of life that affects you on a way that you feel like you need to take repercussions on that person.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think for me, it's the wand. Like I said, I would wave it all over the place with all kinds of different things, but I just think that would impact the world in such a positive way that like, yeah, we would be better as a planet. We'd be better as coexisting as humans. We'd be better at living lives without fear.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where I would start.
I like it. That's a good one. And then I'll wave my magic wand and give you more wishes because your wishes are good.
Nice. Thanks.
Awesome. So for folks that are interested in connecting with you, is there anything that you guys got coming up that we can promote and tell people about? And where can people find you if they'd like to connect?
Yeah, the movement in particular, we've got a new record coming out. It's going to drop on July 29th. There's a bunch of amazing guests on it. The record also is like, it's a real adventure. Like, I think more than any other record, there was no hesitation to like, just let it be, you know? I don't think we tried to like fit it into a peg. We didn't try and recreate Ways of the World. Yeah. You know, it's a tall order to follow up a record that is received well. You're like, wow, yeah. Okay, there's a lot of pressure to like come out with something great. And I think right now we just like, we're in such a good place is a group of friends and musicians that like we trusted each other to just feel free to throw ideas out and like be like, hey, let's take it this way. And a lot of times like the song would just like, it would go on its own path and it would turn out to be whatever it wanted to be. It, almost like it chose itself, you know?
Yeah.
But because of that, there's some styles on there that I think hopefully will surprise people in a pleasant way that they're like, oh wow, there's some different stuff happening.
Nice.
It's not safe. So I think for people who are like excited to like go on a new adventure with us, this record hopefully will be a nice place for them to like, yeah, to like put on some headphones and like go on a wild ride.
Yay. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happens on, the 29th of July. That'll be just everywhere, you know, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, wherever you like to consume your media. And obviously you can catch us on the road. I think the band's website is themovementvibe.com. Movement Vibe is like all the socials as well, Instagram nice. And those things. So if you're interested in seeing some music or checking some music or coming out to a show, you know, those are good places to check. On a personal tip, you can find me at Kofi Matthew. Kofi was a K-O-F-I was a name that I was given in Ghana when I was traveling there.
Oh, cool.
Kofi, yeah. Kofi is a zodiac name, I guess you would consider it in Ghana. They, instead of like the month you're born, it's the day of the week that you're born that is of significance. Huh. So any man who's born on Friday is named Kofi. And if you were introducing yourself to a stranger, you would say, hey, I'm Kofi. And then if you got to know them better, you would say, hey, I'm Kofi Matthew. You would then give them your birth name.
That's really neat.
Yeah. So that's a name that stuck with me. I also named my eldest son after that. And my best friend from Ghana was also a Kofi. He lost both of his parents to AIDS at a very young age and raised his four brothers and sisters from the time he was 12. And is like the strongest dude I've ever met, just mentally and spiritually and physically. And
yeah.
So, Kofi Matthew, you can find me, you know, on Instagram or whatever. And yeah, I think the Riot City Sound website still exists if you want to, you know, learn about. Hopefully I'll start putting some information on this new musical retreat recording studio in the Finger Lakes of New York that we can have some fun brainstorms on how to bring people together into nature and share music and art. Yeah.
So cool. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us. Until next time, everybody, enjoy your life, be kind, lift each other up. Matt, you got any sign-offs?
Oh man, yeah, just I think live the highest power of yourself, like be the greatest version of yourself every day. You know, wake up with hope in your heart and a smile on your face. It's hard to feel bad when you're smiling.
Never saw somebody sad on a jet ski.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, thank you. And for everybody else, we will see you next time. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us around the virtual campfire. Sometimes we talk about heavy topics. Sometimes we tell poop stories. But regardless of what we've discussed, we always like to end the show on a high note. At the end of our live broadcasts, we invite our community to share what they're grateful for in a segment called the Group Gratitude Circle. Every week, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to connect with us and witness these stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. If you'd like to gather with us around the campfire live each week, join the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire VIPs. If this were a legit talk show, you'd be sitting in our studio audience. We haven't been picked up by a major network yet, so for now, we gather on Zoom. Here, you can connect with the community before and after the broadcast, hang out for soundcheck when we have musical guests, participate in the Q&A, join in on the group gratitude circle, and be eligible to receive prizes and gifts from our sponsors, partners, and guests. Learn more and join us at hikingmyfeelings.org/campfire. Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who could use a dose of community and connection. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Hiking My Feelings, and you can tag your journey with #HikingMyFeelings. And if you're picking up what we're putting down and you want to be part of this movement, join the Hiking My Feelings family at family.hikingmyfeelings.org. In case nobody told you lately, you are a brilliant human who is destined to do epic things in this world. Join us next week for more stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. Until then, happy trails!